This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon. A few moments ago, we heard from our correspondent Ivan Watson about tensions along the border between Turkey and Iraq. Turkish troops are massing, threatening to cross into Iraqi Kurdistan in pursuit of rebels sheltering in the mountains there. Iraqi Kurdish officials don't deny the presence of anti-Turkish fighters on their territory. In a statement to NPR, the Washington office of the Kurdistan Regional Government says Kurdish leaders are doing all they can to contain the rebels, and they want a peaceful and strategic relationship with Turkey. I spoke this past week with a representative of the Kurdistan Regional Government in Washington. His name is Kubad Talabani. He's the son of Jalal Talabani, a former leader of the Kurdish independence cause and opponent of Saddam Hussein. He's now the president of Iraq. Kubad Talabani is perhaps an unlikely diplomat. He once worked as a Maserati mechanic, but on a visit to the U.S. with his father, he noticed that the Kurdish mission here needed help. He's now providing it. He meets frequently with American officials, and he's married to an American, a former Iraq desk officer at the State Department. I began my conversation with Kubad Talabani with a question about his early life.
Well, I was born in exile. My father actually missed my birth by a few days because he had to go back into Iraqi Kurdistan and restart the resistance against the regime.
Born in what year?
In 1977. I was raised with by my grandparents in England. And my maternal grandfather was very, very political. So there would always be politics in the house. But I chose an educational career of engineering. We joke to say most Kurds, we study engineering and end up in politics.
Did you hear stories as a young boy about, I mean, did you get to see Kurdistan? Did you hear stories about it?
We would hear stories about Kurdistan. We obviously were fully aware of the Anfal campaign, the genocide against the Kurds in the late 80s. We were constantly called to rally, to demonstrate.
And this is, of course, the poison gas campaign launched by Saddam Hussein.
Yes, 200,000 Kurds were killed, 4,000 villages were destroyed, chemical and biological weapons were used in over 250 instances.
So you're hearing this, you're about 10 years old. When you were a child, did you dream that one day you would grow up in an independent Kurdistan?
Which Kurd wouldn't want to one day have their own country? I would be lying to you if I told you no. I mean, I don't want my own country. It saddens me when I go to the United Nations and I see so many countries, some with populations the size of small towns in Iraqi Kurdistan, that have their permanent missions to New York, that have their flag flying proudly outside their offices. And we as Kurds, 30 million people around the world, don't have our own country. That's an injustice. It's an historical injustice. But you know what? It's an injustice that we have to live with today. And we have to be pragmatic. And pragmatism entails that we have to work with what we have today. We are part of Iraq and we are a leading part of Iraq. The challenge we have is that we have a community in Kurdistan, our population, which overwhelmingly supports Kurdish independence. But the political leadership have continued and will continue to advocate and to actually push for a federal democracy in Iraq. For Iraq to succeed, it has to be a voluntary union of its people. It can no longer be a coerced or forced union of its people.
Is there anything that would cause Kurdistan and Kurdish people to withdraw from that voluntary agreement?
We cannot accept an Iraq that is run by a dictatorship, be it a military dictatorship or a dictatorship under the guise of a religion. I think that has always been a red line for the Kurds. Our voluntary union into Iraq must depend on Iraq being a federal democracy.
Let's talk about your role here as a lobbyist and as a representative. You came to Washington, I believe, in 2000.
Yes.
We're sitting here in your strategy room in your office below a picture of your father, the flag of Kurdistan, a map of Baghdad, and below the mission statement of your time here, I guess. Very boldly, you've written out this year's mission not impossible statement. So what's the mission?
That the Kurds of Iraq are strong allies of the United States, are strong allies of Americans, are strong allies of the values that Americans take for granted every day. The Kurds are today Iraq's most progressive force. And if democracy is to succeed in Iraq, then it will be spearheaded by the Kurds.
I know that you've talked about Kurds as being more pro-American, more pro-democracy. But I would like to ask about Kurds' relationship with their own minorities. Many Christians who've come up from other parts of Iraq, Mosul, Basra, Baghdad, have said that they have difficulty staying on in the north, that even though the Kurds have built them churches, they have to join political parties before they can get jobs, for example.
We're proud of the plural nature of Kurdistan, and we don't think that Kurdistan is Kurdish. Although it translates as land of the Kurds, we pride ourselves on the fact that today we have Turkmens, we have Chaldo-Assyrians, we have the Yazidis, the Sabis, and a variety of different ethnic and sectarian groups. We have all of these groups that we mentioned represented in the Kurdistan National Assembly. We have all of these groups represented in the Kurdistan Regional Government. The Kurdistan Regional Government's Minister of Finance today is a Chaldo-Assyrian. And we're proud of that. We're proud of that diversity. Can we do more to protect people's ethnic and sectarian beliefs and affiliations and traditions? Yes, absolutely. And I think this is part of the fledgling governance that we have in Kurdistan today, where we state that we are progressing, we're a model for the rest of the country, but nobody has ever said we're perfect. And I think if you cite some of the reports about the displacement from Arab parts of Iraq to the Kurdistan region, and we're doing all that we can to try to take in those refugees. It's the refugees that number in the hundreds of thousands now are placing a major burden on the resources of the Kurdistan regional government.
So, Gubad Talabani, what are your fears about what might happen in Kurdistan if American troops withdrew?
Well, Kurds are proudly pro-American, and whether we like it or not, we have been painted with this pro-American brush. And I think if the U.S. were to withdraw from Iraq, then many bad forces in the region, anti-American forces, will take their anger and hate out on us. This terrifies the 5 million Kurds. Every time I go back to Kurdistan, I have students, professors, lawyers ask me, what guarantee is there that America will not betray the Kurds again? And unfortunately, with a lump in my throat, I cannot answer them truthfully, because today we have not received the assurances that we need to assure our people that what we have built in Kurdistan, with the help and assistance of the United States, of Great Britain, and of other friends around the world, can be and will be protected, regardless of what happens in Iraq.
So there's a fear of an American troop withdrawal.
Fear is a light word. There, people are petrified.
We've been speaking with Gubad Talabani in his offices here. He is the Kurdistan Regional Government's representative to the United States. Thanks so very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.